Welcome back, Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Hey, remember, you miss any part of the show, you can always download our podcast. Just search Sports Junkies wherever you download your podcasts. You can listen to our weekend parlay. Hey, just for social media purposes, Drab, how does Yuri spell his name, Yuri Perez? Because there are a lot of Perezes.
E-U-R-Y.
Give it to me again.
E-U-R-Y.
E-U-R-Y. Would not have bet that. Wow. All right.
It's like this.
We got that in.
E-U-R-Y.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm looking forward to Will Dawkins.
No, I'm actually looking forward to both of them. We got some heavy hitters. Dawkins coming on 8:25, Mark Einen at 9:20. I knew you guys had Einen on when I was away, but perfect timing. I know he wants to promote the tennis, but we got to sneak in
an RFK.
DC, yeah, question.
100%.
For sure. He's always been good.
So Drabby put in this topic about big butts coming back for men. Men are working out and want big butts. And Jason, I can ask you about the big dumper. Who is the big dumper in Major League Baseball?
The big dumper?
I think his nickname is the big dumper.
Come on, Bish.
The big dumper.
You don't know the guy who's leading the league in home runs?
Cal Raleigh?
Cal Raleigh's nickname is the big dumper.
I didn't know his nickname was the
big
dumper.
He's got
He's a big dude.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know his nickname was the big dumper.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
is he part of the reason that big butts are coming back for guys?
No. No.
He's just a big dude, man. What is he, about 6'3", 240?
They say
how big is Cal Raleigh?
He's named the big dumper because one of his teammates, Jared Kelenic, gave him the moniker big dumper because of his large backside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why
but
I say it.
That's not why big butts might be it.
No, I'm not saying that Cal Raleigh is the reason, but
no, this is for gym bros.
Yeah.
Instead of guys trying to sculpt their biceps, maybe get bowling ball shoulders or huge chest. Now guys are squatting and deadlifting to get a nice
muscular
round
butt.
If you look around, it
I think
is
that's always been part of like gym bros, but because there are a few guys.
Gym bros were famous for big chest, big arms, and
gym bros. Gym bros would hang around the bench press and take their turns pumping iron.
Yeah,
Working on their
legs.
Yeah, not working on their glutes.
Yeah, but
that was a chick thing.
No, but most big workout guys do everything. There are a few, like you'll see at the gym. I see one or two guys at the gym that are like completely like jacked up top,
yeah,
and then have thin legs. But most will do your deadlifts, will do squats. It might just be one day when you have a leg day, but they'll do it.
I thought the same was always curls get the girls.
Curls for girls, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, when you're a guy and you're working on your beach bod, the last thing you're doing is squats.
Right.
Or hamstring extensions, or
it's actually shocking if you walk around and you actually look, because I've done this before because I've wanted to see how mine compares. If you look at other people, guys' butts are brutal. Guys got nothing.
Yeah,
most guys,
yeah, right,
got nothing.
It's all they're all misshapen or flat, or
the average person is like cakes,
right.
I was waiting for you to drop the cakes reference. He was coming.
And mine's not that much better. Like, I look at mine, and mine's not much better. It's just enough.
Yeah, saggy.
I'm trying to do not heavy stuff, but I'm doing like more like just like little kettlebell exercises and things just to try to get the glutes up a little bit,
right,
get the thighs up a little bit.
It's saggy, flabby butts on
it's
most
such
dudes.
Most dudes have such flat asses.
They just don't care.
And
but most guys also have terrible chests and arms and all those other things.
Yeah, but the flat ass is a mainstay.
I think
it's a mainstay.
I think women
won't work out their lower body.
Right.
Yeah.
I think women see guys who go to the gym, and if they notice that a guy has particularly nice bottom. They know that this guy is working hard every single day and cares about his entire body.
Well, you're just
body.
Rare. You're gonna step if you have a nice butt for a dude, you're gonna stand out. It's like having a great rack.
Look, it may be a right? cultural movement.
It's like a guy's tease.
But hey. I can tell you this firsthand. My wife right? my wife teaches a class which is essentially to help your butt. I can't even remember the name of the time. It's 40 women in that class. There might be one guy in there.
Right, because guys ignore it. Guys always work on their chest and their arms, maybe a little back stuff.
It's masculine to have big arms and big chests and tiny butt.
I think one of the good things about having like all of these reels and all this stuff on social media now is people are talking about the importance, though, of like having leg strength and about having stronger lower body, about how that like helps, like you live longer. You know what they said? The number one trait or something of someone that lives long is like strong thighs,
strong trunks,
strong hips too.
You gotta have strong muscular thighs. So as you get older, you don't fall down all the time. You just have a good base.
Right.
You don't want to have this hurting spindly.
You don't
legs.
Want chicken legs.
You don't want to have hurting Cake's legs.
And Cake's has bad balance.
Does he already have bad balance?
I thought he said that.
He might have said
Did
that.
He? Yeah. I wonder how his balance has been in the bed in the hotel room in San Diego.
How many times do you think
Would
he's
Would you really
already?
Want to know?
No, I don't.
I'm going to say when he comes back on the total.
I'm actually curious.
On his sex trip,
if you found out two
smashes.
If you found out, like, this is just old school, like 30 years ago when there actually were like sex tapes on a VHS. And there was a VCR. Uh-huh. And you found out that Cake somehow had one.
Yeah.
And it fell out of his backpack.
Oh, I'd watch it.
You would want to watch Cakes.
I would watch it for a second.
Would you?
100%.
That would be awkward.
100%.
Yeah, I think I would pass.
But how? So were you getting this that big butts are in?
It's just a New York Post article. It's just a trend, and so I think it's something physically that women look for. I'm willing to go the extra step that they're gonna not big butts, but muscular round butts and dudes will become so popular that it will become the norm for guys to get BBLs.
BBLs. Like they get as popular as they're getting a hair transplant?
Yeah, or like calf. Like some guys are very insecure about their calves. That was a whole Johnny Drama thing on Entourage.
Yeah.
I'm willing to take the next step where there's going to be surgery for guys and their gluteus maximus.
I know in the bodybuilding world, back when I was in college and I was buying all the magazines and taking all the drugs, calf implants was a big thing for bodybuilders. That was their cheat because it's really hard to get your calves.
Right. I think that's more of a genetic thing.
The article talks, it's a trainer who they refer to. I think maybe it was only one guy referred to in the article, and he just is talking about trends of what he sees in the gym. And what I've noticed in it might be like the last decade. As I've been going to the gym somewhat regularly, not so regularly lately, deadlifts, I don't remember deadlifts being so big 25 years ago. Deadlifts to me now are like top three exercise you'll see at the gym. Probably for guys, probably number one would still be bench, but deadlift is up there. See, I think squat's always been in the top five for sure.
I don't think for the average
leg
guy.
Press.
I don't think for the average guy. I think the average guy was doing chest.
The average guy, maybe.
The average college student, he's going in there and he's pumping out some bench press.
Right.
And he
doesn't
some
care
curls.
What his ass looks
he
like.
He might do a few rows, which also hits your arms.
Lat pull downs.
Yeah, but they're not doing a lot of leg stuff. Now, if you're an athlete, and now these athletes are all doing it. Girls, guys, all of them.
Yeah.
They're doing all the Olympic lifts, which is great. My 16-year-old, she does them all.
Yeah, my frame of reference might not be great because I'm going to, a popular gym where most of those people are going in to work out pretty seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Valdez, are you teeing it up today?
Yeah, I'm playing at Hidden Creek like right after the show.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get it in, like rain-wise?
I looked at the forecast. I thought
looks like it's going to be okay.
I think it's going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it's not supposed to pour until overnight.
I mean, this is the day to play. I mean, I know you play in heat and you don't care, but this would be the day this week to play.
No, it was hot the last couple of days.
Oh,
when I played the other day out in Renditions, by about the 12th hole, I was just wiped out.
Right.
Yeah. but we soldiered on.
Yeah, I don't know how guys were playing. There were a bunch of charity golf tournaments this week. I don't know how guys were doing it.
Yeah,
because charity golf tournaments take a long time. They just do.
They do, but there's a lot of booze in those things.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know.
Well, that's hard to do.
And actually, they were doing what you said. They were driving around, actually, and they were with coolers and asking people if they wanted to dump their towels into their ice coolers.
Well, it's a great.
I almost golf wondered hack. If they did it because they heard you saying it.
Oh, really?
I almost wondered.
You should ask.
Because I've never seen that before.
Should have asked them.
Yeah.
Ask Dave.
Yeah.
Send him a text.
Hey, if you work at a golf course or a country club and you're a starter or bag mm-hmm. boy, have a cooler with rolled up towels that you put in the carts with ice, and I guarantee you you'll get a silly tip by the end of the round.
A ton of tips. Yeah, you probably would.
Yeah. I've been to a few clubs where they've done that before.
Where they give you like
on real hot days,
cold
yeah.
towels. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, we had guys like have them all over their heads. You know what I mean? It's that kind of heat.
Or even better is you take the cart, you have a side cooler, and then you drive around the course and offer it up to people.
Right. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's what they
did.
Were
you tip
doing.
Them?
No. I didn't.
By the way, how
he
was
he asked me if I wanted some ice for my towel, and I said yes. I put my towel in there, and it said thank you. It didn't occur to me to tip him, to be honest with you, Valdez. It doesn't always occur to me. Sorry.
How was your sleep last night?
I told JP, from midnight to 3, better.
Okay.
Like maybe didn't wake up. It's from 10 to midnight and from 3 to 4:30 that we need to work on now.
10 to midnight and 3 to 4:30.
Yeah, right. So I had a good midnight to 3, which believe me is way better than I've had recently.
My 3 to 4:30, or I get up at 4, but let's just say my 2.
Your last hour?
My 2 to 4 has been awful for years.
Yeah.
I never sleep all the way until my alarm goes off. My alarm probably goes off 3 or 4 times a year.
What about on vacation?
Even on vacation.
My vacation.
Because my body will just wake up.
Yeah, but I mean, stay in bed. I wake up, but I stay in bed.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't get out of bed when I don't have to, but my body wakes up. But I'm telling you, and I'm not exaggerating, my alarm clock has probably gone off 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I believe it.
This year.
Mine doesn't go off.
Never goes off.
Yeah, I'm always up way before.
So from 2
now
to 4.
Now I got that dumb red light in there. And I don't even know. I could legitimately say I don't think it's doing anything, my red light.
Yeah.
But
I sleep great. Like a freaking bear from
midnight to 3.
From about 8:30, 9 o'clock until
one great.
Or two.
So when you went to Lake Como for vacation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you didn't sleep well?
He went there one time. He's not going to Lake Como
over here. I'm trying to think of a place he went to vacation.
I mean, I can't remember how I slept. That was 5 years ago.
All right, but your last vacation, where was it?
I guess it was when I went down to Carolina.
You didn't have good, nice, long sleep?
No. My body will wake up.
Your body's
when you wake up at 4 every single day, I mean, you got a clock.
It's not just that. It's getting older. I think when you get older.
I slept till 9:30 last week.
All right. Well, you're
silly.
You're a better sleeper than me.
It was somewhat shocking, but I woke up and I looked, 9:30.
Yeah, he's always sleep shaming us. He goes on the plane and he falls asleep within 2 seconds.
I know. I can't do it.
Yeah, I know. You have God bless you. You're blessed. You should see the number of people that hit me up that have trouble sleeping.
Of course, I understand a lot of people have trouble sleeping.
Yeah, I mean
I think all these gadgets you're doing. I don't know. You need to calm your mind somehow, and it's not the calm and the magnesium. It's just something's going on.
It's funny that you think it's that. I don't think it's that. I mean, my mind.
Well, you're trying all these gadgets and they're not working.
No, I tell you, you know what has worked to initially calm me down? I'm telling you, the cherry tart juice.
Okay.
It does work. Take some. Drink some before you.
I'd like to sleep more than 3 hours straight.
I'm trying, buddy.
Yeah, maybe eliminate everything.
Believe me, I want to as well. No, I just can't.
JP's anti-taking anything.
Yeah.
I'm the complete opposite of that. So
yeah.
I like vitamins and things of that nature. You're anti-vitamin. You do you. Let me do me.
He's different.
I'm not anti. I'm just saying you're having a bad result. So instead of keep doing the same result, it's insanity.
Well, now he's on tartar.
Tart juice is helping me a little bit.
Tartar sauce.
I'm very pro vitamins. I'm not going to stop taking vitamins. Sorry, buddy. Not going to happen.
I don't care. You're the one that's complaining.
The vitamins are not keeping me awake.
Well, they're not helping you.
but they're not keeping me awake.
In Eric's defense, he didn't complain. He was asked about it.
Yeah.
I asked.
Yeah.
I wonder how Will Dawkins slept the last two nights.
I'm guessing he slept pretty well. He seemed pretty calm about the whole thing.
Yeah, well,
he's always calm.
We can ask him.
Calm, cool, and collected. All right, we'll talk to Will Dawkins. He's the Wizards GM next about their rebuild plan, about them drafting Trey Johnson from Texas, and more here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, and streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country. All right, been talking a lot of NBA draft the last couple days, and the architect of the Wizards rebuild is their GM, Will Dawkins. He joins us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Morning, Will.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, we were just talking about sleep. One of us doesn't sleep very well, and I said, hey, how do you think Will Dawkins slept the last two nights?
For some reason, I feel like you sleep well.
How did you sleep?
The first night, not great, because we were up all night trying to get ready for the second round, but last night was a little better. I'll say that.
Last night was better.
What about the night before the first night?
Yeah, the night before the first round.
Actually, pretty good. We were prepared going into this draft, so we felt pretty good. We were able to get some sleep that night.
Hey, let me ask you, were you surprised that Trey slipped to six, or did you kind of project him to be there when you guys were selecting?
We were not certain he was going to be there, so we were very fortunate when we got him, for sure.
And so he for sure was he, I mean, I know you're not going to tell us your board, but I mean, he was definitely one of your top targets.
Yes, he was one of our top targets for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he's a really good player in terms of being able to move the scoreboard and shoot. But he's got the right work ethic and mentality. So once we got him in our building and got a feel for him, he was someone that was top five on our board all season long. And when you fell to six, you felt pretty good when you find someone that you have ranked so high.
Right.
Well, I'm fascinated by when you see these guys when they're really young. I'm curious, when's the first time you laid your eyes on Trey Johnson? Was he 12, 13?
It's not that bad. Not that bad. It's getting close. But I would say probably 15, 16 years old is when I probably see them. A lot of the guys, when they play USAB, they start playing around 16 years old when they start letting us go to Colorado Springs and see them for the first time. So USAB does a really good job with the high-end prospects of giving you maximum exposure. But with EYBL now, we get those opportunities to see them when they start playing 15U.
And I'm curious, how many of those guys, let's say when you see them at 15, 16 years old, how many of those guys remain the top guys? Because it struck me when Jay Billis was talking about Cooper Flagg that Cooper Flagg has been a top prospect probably his whole life, right? And we started hearing about him like 3 years ago, and that carries a certain pressure, and he remained the top guy. How often do guys stay top, or is there a lot of movement, or do guys come that are kind of sleepers that might be ranked 100, and then by the time the draft comes, they're top 10 draft? How much movement is there in the kind of those last 3 or 4 years before they hit the NBA?
Yeah, there's a lot of movement, I would say. It's rare for someone to stay at the top of the class like that the entire time. But you typically get to see those kids and you find out that they're NBA players. It's just on their own time. Some need a year, some need 2 years, 3 years. It fluctuates whether they're top 10, but they still get drafted later. So you get a feel for NBA players early. USAB really does a good job, ESPN and those type of outlets. But for us, there's always guys that are going to pop. There's always guys that are coming on late, and those stories are pretty good. But Trey's someone that has been a high-level player in this class and been able to score and shoot the ball. So we've been seeing him do that for a while.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it, that some of the reports were somebody out there from Texas said he's the hardest-working guy we've had since KD. Like, he's a total gym rat. And, you know, when you have that kind of work ethic, then you throw that in with talent, those are the ones that become special, or at least have the opportunity to.
Yeah, you don't carry the load in one of the better conferences that we've seen in a long time to be able to lead that conference in scoring during the season in conference play without working to get there, but also staying committed to there, because they were throwing a lot of bodies at him and he had to learn how to score in different ways with different matchups. And he is someone that, like Will Riley, skilled wings who have a strong work ethic and passion for the game. And that's what popped when you go to their practices. That's what popped when you talk to their coaches. And when you bring them in here and you talk to them, like, those guys are serious workers and they're going to fit into our building pretty well.
When you're at this stage of the process, are you looking for specific positions yet? Or are you still just like, I just need great player, like good players, guys we see the potential? Or are you just acquiring assets that you can maybe move later?
Yeah, I would say with the guys we've drafted, I would say before this, you could tell that we're going to find guys who we feel have a chance to be NBA players and NBA players for a long time, and guys who have qualities that we feel will be able to play in NBA playoff games, because, again, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. So right now we're taking best available player who fits a play style that we want to have, and I wouldn't see it as asset play or positional need. Right now we just want to bring a bunch of guys in that compete, want to get after it, and
you'll figure out positional stuff later
to winning. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
We don't have that luxury yet.
Right.
I'm curious. So you say when you see Trey, when he's he's still a teenager, but a younger teenager, right? He's 15 or 16. Yeah. He already has that smooth stroke, right? And he shot almost 40% from the 3-point line, like you said, in the toughest conference, playing for Texas, SEC freshman of the year. A lot of times you hear about these guys, and we were talking about this before the draft, who don't have that shot and don't have that stroke. And I remember as we were going through some of these players, EB was saying, well, he can work on that and refine it. How easy is that? Because a lot of times you'll hear they got to work on the jumper, and 5 years later, the jumper is still not great.
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. Shooting, when you just look at the numbers, is a huge swing skill for a lot of young players. If they can pick that up and become more of a threat over their career, it definitely advances their projection. But with Trey, he does one of the hardest things in the NBA at a high level already. Mm-hmm. And that's being able to shoot not just off the catch, but off the dribble. Mm-hmm. And not just from three, but actually like really deep behind the 3-point line, but also the mid-range. So for him, he's someone that you're watching in high school as a sophomore, you're watching in high school as a junior in Texas, playing against some of the best competition, Cason Wallace and those guys who are strapping up people in the NBA finals right now. He's scoring 40 points against in high school, and you're like, okay, this kid's a little different.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Is he compared to Devin Booker?
There's a lot of wings I think that he has a little pieces of, but Devin Booker at Kentucky was able to score in a tough SEC conference. Tyler Hero was able to score at Kentucky in a tough conference like that. So there's a lot of different wings that we've been able to see put up points. But 19 points a game, almost 20 as a freshman in that conference, that's pretty impressive.
Trey, he seems like a good kid too. Good family.
Good family, good background. Will as well. We got to see their families when they came in yesterday. They're elated, as you can imagine, and he has a really good and strong support system. And his dad kept him in the gym all the time. And he said is one of his biggest supporters, but also was one of his biggest critics and was able to push him in high school. And he's like, once I solidified myself, he kind of backed off and let me go. But those guys were asking to be in the gym already last night, which is wild.
Wow. Talking to Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, I saw Chase Hughes asked Trey about something that kind of went viral. Kid's got no hobbies, he said. He just likes basketball.
He's a pure hooper. He's like a lot of teenagers, likes to hang out and play video games and things of that nature, but he's singularly focused on basketball. We had him over for dinner and we're talking to him, and it's me, Coach Keith, I think Amber Nichols. We're talking about a play that happened in one of the Mystics games. It was a DHO where the player went under the screen and then came back around to isolate on the other side. And we were saying it out loud, and he said, yeah, I've seen that a couple times in some other WNBA games. They're starting to do that. And that's when you realize that this dude, like,
he's a nerd.
He gets it. He really loves basketball. He watches it and studies it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of one of those things where, like, okay, the IQ is there, but the passion to get better and watch all types of basketball, like, he's a true hooper.
So the Washington Post had an article about your meeting with him where you guys showed him plays off. Can you take us inside that meeting?
Yeah, I told him he's got to stop sharing house secrets like that. But when guys come in, we try to make sure that they know exactly who we are so we can learn who they are. And with that, we go through and they spend time with everybody in the organization, from our player pathways and enrichment teams all the way to our analytic teams. And they do film sessions with the coaches, but also spend some time with myself and Travis and Amber in the front office, and we watch film with them. And it's like, hey, this is what we've seen. This is what we like. These are the real question marks we have. Sometimes you can't tell whose fault it is, what the assignments, what's being asked. So we just got to figure it out. And it's really just learning how they are willing to take accountability, how much humility they have, and how much they're willing to push and work on those things. And I'd say we've had similar conversations with a lot of our players, and the way he was able to show us how he learned and show us the things he saw. And I think it motivated him the next day to kind of fight in some of those areas. And I like how he accepted the challenge. I would say that.
Will, so let's talk about your second first round pick. And when Walter Clayton Jr. was drafted, obviously he was drafted for another team, but for New Orleans, or I'm sorry, for Utah. But yes. We were kind of projecting who you guys might be looking at later in that second first round pick. And we thought, yeah, maybe an older player, a veteran that can kind of come in, or a kid who played 4 or 5 years in college that had more experience. And Clayton, I actually loved Walter Clayton Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a really good story. Went to Iona, then, of course, transferred to Florida and won a national championship. And he was unbelievable in the tournament. But you decided you wanted to go young again and get Will Riley. So you bypassed Clayton, let him go to Utah. Talk to us about why you decided to go with another really young player.
Yeah, I would say during the draft, you have a lot of deals that are coming your way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people on the phones, and Will was someone that we had ranked pretty high on our board. And when we were able to, I know you talk about doing the deal with Utah, mm-hmm. being able to pick up a second round pick to get back into the draft after the day before us doing a deal that got us off of the 40th pick was important to us. We also picked up two additional assets in the future in the second round as well. Then we still got the player we wanted. So for us, strategically, that's why you saw us do those things.
Gotcha.
And again, we're not necessarily just drafting young players. We just happen to find the guys that make the most sense for our organization. And with Will, he is someone, again, who I thought finished the season really strong and started to show the player that he was. When previously, before he went to Illinois, they had a lot of ball handlers. And when he was at UIBL playing with UPlay and Team Canada, he was a scorer. He was a facilitator. And he's someone who we think has a lot more potential to kind of grow and show those areas. And physically, he's undergoing a big growth spurt the last few years, and we think he's still growing. So he's someone that has the versatility, has the size, has the scoring ability, and he fits very, very well and with all of our wings that we currently have. So we're excited to have him.
All right, talk about Watkins just quickly. Is he somebody that you could see helping you in the first year? Is he more going to be like a G League guy, or what's the plan with him?
Yeah, I think he'll be around. He'll get his opportunity to compete and be on the team. I would think what you guys were saying just before that in terms of age, he does bring that maturity.
Right.
He does bring a physicality. He's one of the strongest, most physical players that we were watching in the Power Five conferences. And when you went and saw him compete at the combine, I always like guys who play when they get to the combine. And he was physical. He was getting steals. He was on the rim. He's someone that improved as a shooter. But he's all business as well. He's going to get out there and defend first and make sure people feel him on the court. And I think that's something that we wanted to add when you saw some of the other moves that we'd made the last week.
All right, Will. Well, enjoy your summer now here. I guess you'll be going to Vegas summer league.
We'll be meeting here in a little bit on free agency and prepping for that right before we head out to summer league. So
gotcha.
On to the next.
All right,
on to the next.
Thank you, Will. We appreciate it.
Good job.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate it, buddy.
It's Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM. Remember, a little bit later, we have the Commanders minority owner, Mark Ein joining us here on the Junkie.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to a new advertiser, a new partner of ours. And the company's called Foley Mechanical. It's owned by a guy named Dan Foley. And Dan Foley lives in Ashburn, pretty close to me. And I got to meet him a few weeks ago to talk about what his goals were in the ad campaign. Really good dude. I mean, just straight shooter, trustworthy, like him a lot. And he said, you know what, Jay, let me go look at your house. I want to look at your systems to see what you're working with. So he came over to the house with his team, and they looked through my house, and he goes, bro, you got your
original outdated.
He goes, you got your original hot water heater here. I'm surprised it hadn't blown up and just flooded your entire basement. Because my hot water heater is the original, and it's a 23, 24-year-old house. All right, and hot water heaters usually don't last that long, believe me. But I've been very fortunate that it didn't break. And then he looked at my dual HVAC units, my AC units. He goes, you need a new one here. And then he looked at my sump pump. He goes, bro, you got your sump pump is shoddy. I needed so many things done. And so his team came over, and basically one day, they came over at 6:45 in the morning and left around 7 at night, and they replaced all of those. They were unbelievable. And my furnace room was old and outdated and looked kind of shoddy. And they came in, cleaned it up, put the hot water heater in it, put the new AC unit. Anyway, they're going to start advertising. You're going to start hearing the commercials on Monday. And they are just really, really good. It's FoleyMechanical.com, and Foley spelled F-O-L-E-Y. But I just wanted to give a shout out to him, thank him, because he's the owner of the company. He came out to the house and spent a few hours out there with his team, sat in my basement doing work while his guys were doing the work. Just a really good company, really good dude. I just want to say thanks to him. And again, they're going to start advertising starting Monday. So thank you, Dan Foley, and your guys. They did a great job. And I've already noticed a difference in my house. My AC unit, I've already noticed a difference.
Nice.
So thank you, Dan and Foley Mechanical. Love you guys.
This television show is not for you, Jason. I know that you will never check it out. Mm-hmm. You're more into Snowfall and shows like that deal with drug kingpins, or Taylor Sheridan wrote it.
Snowfall is awesome. Yes, go ahead.
There's a show, though, that I think is pretty intriguing that's coming out called Virgin Island.
Virgin Island?
Yes, and it's almost exactly what you'd imagine. They are trying, it's a reality show. And the theme is they have a bunch of virgins, and then they have sex therapists, and there's a boot camp, and then by the end, they have sex, and they're not virgins anymore. Would that intrigue you? There have been shows.
When does it premiere? Or is it already premiered?
It's a good question. When does it premiere?
It's a British reality show that's apparently premiered May 12th of this year, so it's already out.
Yeah.
That's just like a month ago.
Yeah.
There was a show. Sounds
so brutal.
There was a show, and I want to say maybe I watched like 10 minutes of the episode, which was on Max for a while, called Naked Attraction, where, you know, the big reveal, like what was the old show that we grew up with? I guess it was just the dating game, mm-hmm. But here they would see them completely, you know, naked
behind like a silhouette.
I think that eventually they would have a reveal. Might have started with a silhouette,
and what, you see the face.
But I guess this has been going on in the series. They started with 12 virgins between the ages of 22 and 30.
Guys or girls? Both?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
Both are virgins.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they have coaches and sex therapists.
Okay, it just sounds brutal.
That wouldn't interest me.
I'm just not that interested in it.
I don't like those reality shows anyway, like the Love Islands. I don't get into that.
Does your wife watch any of them?
Oh, yeah. She watches Love Island. My daughters love that show.
Right.
But I don't know if they'd get into this one.
So they're going to begin shooting their second season. I don't know. I might be intrigued. You know, don't you feel good for somebody that hasn't had any action and finally gets their first action?
I mean, I guess it's just...
The thing that's appealing about a lot of the other shows that maybe is a little different about this one, like a lot of these other shows, like Love Island, they're all good-looking people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all in shape.
Oh, I think so.
Like, yeah, some of these you can tell are just socially awkward.
Like regular folks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, if they're just regular folks and they can't, you know, find a partner to experience something like that, I guess. It just seems trashy.
Well, yeah, we watch a lot of, I watch a lot of trashy TV.
I know, I know. I was telling about Drab yesterday. I saw there was a, I don't know, there were, was an article or something about a nude cruise that one of the big, cruise companies is putting on, where you, clothes is optional.
You've always been fascinated by nude camps. And...
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they're all models on the boat. There's going to be a bunch of.
I mean, it's been 30 years, but I believe when we visited my brother at the University of Miami, mm-hmm. we went for one of those spring training trips with Stumper.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was our senior year of college. My brother's 3 years younger. And we ended up going to Miami for 3 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to South Beach, and mm-hmm. EB made us walk like several blocks.
We had to go to
so that we can go to the supposed topless section.
Yeah.
Well, was it nude or was it topless? I think it was topless.
I think it was just topless. But I mean, that's, I don't know if that's still the case in Miami. But yeah, there's definitely like a couple blocks where they're very liberal. Very liberal there with their bathing suits. Tops optional.
This nude cruise is so hurting.
Yeah, who's putting it on?
Well, I just typed it into Google and it brought me to a website with a bunch of naked old people on it promoting the cruise.
Yeah. And what do they do? And they just...
This is what the Instagram description says. Say hello to the Big Nude Boat, 11-day clothing optional Caribbean cruise setting sail from Miami this February aboard the Norwegian Pearl. Run by Bare Necessities, this bold voyage isn't about bearing skin. It's about embracing freedom, body positivity, and stress-free vibes in a safe, respectful space.
Mm.
That stinks.
You probably would, though, turn in if there was a show on Netflix, let's say the Naked Attraction show, but they threw it on a cruise ship or whatever. You'd probably watch that.
I did watch
it. Or like a reality show about a new colony.
For about 2 years, I was watching Naked and Afraid all the time.
Hey, Eric, you need to watch the Poop Cruise documentary.
I know, you keep hyping that up.
No, I watched it yesterday.
People say it's nightmare fuel.
Well, it's going to make you think about going on a cruise again, but it's just reliving that time in 2013 when that cruise was stuck in the Gulf of Mexico.
Lost its power.
And then I remember doing shows about it, doing like updates on it.
I don't remember that at all.
It's a disaster.
And how long were they stuck?
They were stuck for, I want to say,
a couple days.
Well, the cruise itself was a 3-day cruise, and I think they were stuck 4 days after that.
Right.
So, but a couple days felt like an eternity.
They weren't able to use the toilets because they had no electricity or whatever.
They were given bags to duty in.
The food issue was a debacle.
So what were they doing with the bags of duty? Once they got, like, so say you go duty in the bag, then what do?
Then you tie it up, put it in a waste basket, and the baskets were taken below deck.
What does that mean, below deck?
Like
in the bowels of the ship.
In the ship, but
you
also
know how smelly
people
that must have been.
But also people were using like the bathrooms that were around, and just leaving it in there.
Oh,
why don't they just throw? Why don't
they just throw it in the ocean?
I would have done.
That's probably what they did.
No, they were taking it below deck.
I know, but what did they do after that? They probably got just released it in the ocean.
Disgusting. No, they didn't release it in the ocean. They probably put it in some biohazard.
I mean, you can't throw your bag of poop in the ocean. You would have to, like,
why not?
Break the bag?
You'd have to break the bag.
Or why just not? Plastic is
you
in the ocean.
It's a crisis. I'm sorry, the shrimp will have to get used to
or
it.
Or just put your cheeks over the railing.
Where do you think the fish poop?
Hey, one of the guys said he was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he could hold it for so long. He finally, the seal broke and he had to go use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he went into the restroom and
it was the most disgusting thing.
He said it was the most disgusting thing ever. They said because you couldn't flush, they would duty and then they would put a toilet paper on the top of it. And then people would duty on top of that.
It's kind
of
like what you did for what you call. Remember you did that?
Well, we didn't put toilet paper in there.
Yeah, but you went duty on top of somebody else's duty. Remember, we tried. Yeah. We did that for you before you had to lick the toilet.
No, but he described it
as the most disgusting thing we've ever done.
He described it as a poop lasagna. with all the sheets there and duty in between.
Dude, we're losing so many listeners right now.
I thought about you the entire time. How you would
That's
be so giddy.
I brought it up yesterday. I said that there was a documentary on the poop cruise.
I can't watch a documentary on poop. I'm sorry.
I'd rather be on that cruise than the nude cruise, walking around with my dong hanging out. Like that's what he's so. That would be so uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, because think about it. What percentage of the time do you think you're
presenting well?
You're presenting well. Yeah. Like honestly,
50% maybe.
50?
No way.
More like
5.
Not, I mean, just presenting
more like 5%. More like 0.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, like presenting well.
Like okay.
Yeah. But look, most
you're not like a thimble more than 50% of the time.
Oh, you'd be shocked.
All right,
I think
porn
you
star.
Would be shocked.
I'm not saying a porn star, but
I'm
like,
just, I just think as you, maybe it's been when you get older, but I just think you'll be shocked. I put it this way. I get out of the shower sometimes, and I'm changing whatever. I sit on my bed, and I look down, and I'm stunned. I'm stunned at what little is there.
So dormant. But dormant.
I mean, I'm stunned at myself. I'm like, I'm a grown man.
Yeah, just imagine walking around a boat.
Can you imagine?
That's awful.
No, it's stunning how poorly I could present. I mean, it's like, you almost wonder how's that even possible. I don't know. Maybe JP's just got some big, huge slinky. But
not at all. Just saying.
When I was younger, when I was in college, I used to walk around naked all the time. Because I would goof on the guys.
JP's constantly prepping himself.
But when I'm older, it's not like that anymore. It's like a Super Bowl. It's humiliating. I don't know what happens.
All right, coming up next, we've got EB's entertainment page here in the Junkies. Remember, we've got Commander's Minority Owner Mark Ein joining us at 9:40. Don't go anywhere.